You're the news anchor at KOTV from 65 until 69. You go to KABC TV.
Mm-hmm.
So in that body of time, is there anything memorable that you think you were covering between 65 and 69 in Tulsa?
There were a lot of things. The first political convention I went to was the Republican convention in 1964 in San Francisco. And then I went to the Republican convention in 1968 in Miami. And then I went to the Democratic National Convention in Chicago in 68.
Okay.
And that was a memorable occurrence.
Tell us why.
Well, because it turned into a police riot, because it was the year that Bobby Kennedy was shot. It was the year that Martin Luther King was shot. Was the year that race became a literally fire and ashes story and event. Well, one of the things we do in this business, and we do it because we're not being accurate enough, is that we confuse sometimes story with event. And we should not do that. I say the story about the 68 convention. What you're talking about is the event of the 68 convention, what actually happened up there. I wouldn't have had as good a seat if it hadn't been for Fred Harris, who at that time was a United States Senator from Oklahoma. Fred was the chairman of the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, because normally at a political convention, the reason that somebody like me from Tulsa or Oklahoma goes is that you go to cover the Oklahoma delegation, whatever they're doing. But in terms of the protocol, housing protocol, for example, which is what's pertinent here, for conventions, the larger delegations, the delegations that really mean something, you know, California, New York, Illinois, all those places, get all of the great hotels and right down by the convention, you know, and Oklahoma delegation is out on a Motel 6 someplace 3 miles out of town. But this year, because of Harris, we were in the convention headquarters hotel, which was the site of the riot. It was right across the street from where kids were getting busted up. I saw police throw a demonstrator through the plate glass window of a bar on the first floor of our hotel, then come around and arrest him for breaking and entering and drag him out. The thing got so bad that they were throwing bags of urine and defecation out of windows to splatter on the street. There were smoke bombs and stink bombs in the lobby, and the elevators didn't work. I mean, everybody had to evacuate the hotel. And then there was this full-fledged police riot. A lot of things were learned there. But for me, my personal experience, it was, you can't always trust a cop. I had always been raised. It was embedded somewhere in my psyche that if I'm in trouble, get a cop. He or she will help. In this case, they hit you in the head. Press credentials don't count. We're among the enemy. And I'm not saying that all the Chicago cops were bad, but this was later defined and classified as what has come to be known now because of that as a police riot. It was such a sea change combined with all the rest of the stuff that was going on there. Johnson, of course, saying that he was out, Humphrey was in, you know, the Vietnam War was going on, there were riots going on, they're shooting Kennedy, they're shooting him. It was a terrible period. 1968 was probably the high point or the low point, depending on how you look at it, of that entire 60s thing that was going on that was the protest part of the 60s. There were other things that were associated with it in terms of music and lifestyle. The birth control pill, which may have been the greatest cultural changer that the world had known, it put sex in a totally different position from which we're still trying to figure out how it works exactly. And no one's come up with an answer, but at least it changed the playing field on that. Changed the playing field on race relations. It changed the playing field on music. It changed the playing field on what young people are supposed to do. It changed the playing field on your right, your duty to disagree with your government. But the question was, how do you do it? Do you set something on fire or do you call a rally? Both of those decisions were made, some of them too many times.
But was Vietnam perhaps the driving issue there at the convention? Protesting because here was a war that really hadn't been declared and we had a draft on, and so we had that going on in the country?
I don't know. It's difficult for me. Vietnam was part of what was going on in the 60s. Now, whether Woodstock would have occurred without Vietnam being there, I can't say that. It takes somebody a lot smarter than me to try to figure that out. But the 60s, as many of those mega events and cultural changes were, it was a confluence of a number of things. Vietnam was certainly a major part of it.
You went to Vietnam as a reporter?
Yes.
In 68?
Yes.
What were you reporting? What was your angle?
It was a promotion, really. We asked viewers for the names and units of family members or friends who were serving in Vietnam. We collected, I don't know, hundreds of those and went there actually twice. I did it once and Pitcock did it once, and tried to find as many of them as we could and interview them and say how they were doing and what they were doing and what they felt and that kind of thing. And it was what is called in the industry a hometowner. We weren't there to cover the war. And everybody was doing it. I mean, there were television stations all over the country who had reporters in Vietnam, but they weren't covering the war. They were covering the people who were from their particular markets.
You mentioned Bill Pitcock.
Yes.
Was he a news anchor after you?
Concurrent. We worked together for a long time.
You were co-anchors?
No, I don't think, well, we may have been. But that was back in the days when anchors were supposed to be men and they were supposed to be single. You didn't do double anchors. You had a single male anchor. The way it finally worked out, I don't know the specific history of it. I did the 6, Bill did the 10. We may have done some co-anchoring, but it would have been rare.
So you had 2 anchors, 6 and 10.
Yeah.
And that
right.
Went on for a number of years?
Oh, yeah, until dual anchors were forced on us. At KOTV, it happened in 1976.
Who became your co-anchor?
I don't remember. There have been so many that it just gets lost in the mists of time, John.